Okay, good morning. Let's start in with a prayer and go right into a song. So let's have a word of prayer and spend some good time worshiping and fellowshipping together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to redeem every moment of every day of our life and not waste away any of it. We can do that, Heavenly Father, by continually walking in the Holy Spirit, by continually worshiping and praising You in everything that we do. And therefore, Father, we pray that this morning will be a morning of a sweet savor to Your nostrils in the glory of Your Son and in the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing. Okay, those of you that weren't able to make it Tuesday night, you really missed a treat in many different ways. I've been going to church more years than I would care to divulge, but leave it to be said, over 50. I've never seen what happened here Tuesday night in any church, anytime, anywhere. But Stuart was it was a pleasure having him, and again, just will continue to be in prayer. He's in Zambia, and here's the capital, and maybe like 75 miles outside of the capital is his village. We have pictures, and I'm going to try to get us a copy so we can just have for prayer and thinking about of the Bible Institute that they are preparing. The government gave his organization, something like 50 acres, or I guess 35 acres, and they have been able to build several buildings. We saw the ground just barren, and then with the buildings and some of the early huts and different things, and it looks looks very, very forceful. They're going to have a conference in April, and been talking with Stuart, Dan, and a couple other people that are working with it, and they asked me to come, but I said, well, if nobody else has claimed it, I'll just take spirituality study the week of that, and they laughed, so if I go, that's what they'll probably give me, and which to me is the most important thing there is. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Stuart and Julie, his wife, and just the entire their mission here. Had a good time with them, and a very brief time. But after Tuesday night, they got in Tuesday around 4, and then we just sat and talked, kind of got familiar with each other, and then class. And then after here, took him to the first grocery store he'd ever been in. And so we went into Albertsons up here and near where I live, and we go in and first took him over to the produce department, and it just boggled his mind. And I said, and you want to remember, this is just one little grocery store. There's probably no less than five within a 2-mile radius from where I live around here. And they all have the same thing. We just not only looked at just the big picture, just kind of the rare fruits and vegetables and things that were there, then the meats, all the different kinds of meats. And he kept the thing that just there's so many different kinds, like milk, so many different kinds, not just milk. It's, you know, all kinds, and we talked about the different milks. But the place where he made his really first real comment as we walked through, and boggling, we walked up and down the aisle. I like to do that. Walk up and down the aisle, and he goes, he just stood there a minute, and he goes, so many different kind of toilet papers. He looked at me like, what is the difference? What does one do that the other doesn't do? That's hard to explain, Americans. Some want it to do this, some want that, and some want this brand, some want that brand. But he really enjoyed being here, and Julie did. It was his first big screen TV, and I think he stayed up to about 2:33. I said, I do not want to be a rude host. I've got to. First of all, his wife took off. She just went to bed. Boom. I'm tired. And then next was Pat. Pat decided she's going to bed. So I decided, he's a guest, not only in my home, but in my country. But I mean, after about 1 o'clock, I said, Stuart, you're on your own, kid. I got to go get some sleep. He enjoyed being here and meeting y'all and talking. I hope to have just more of an influence in regard to spirituality and some other things, but we'll just see how the Spirit leads and all of that respect. So please keep them in mind. Ian McGrath is going to Central South America. Please keep him in your prayers and his ministry there. He's looking at being there in 3 weeks, and Carol will probably join him the last week. So please be in prayer for Ian and his ministry. And so things are happening in that respect that I'm very happy about. So please bear that. Now let's talk about, besides those things being in prayer, your prayer time. How's Alta? What would be our prayer request?
Well, we've got on some homeopathic stuff, and that it works.
That it works. Okay. That God's will be done in regard to her body, and the stability of those that are around her. Wes Tuttle's father, whom we saw, those of you that were able to come in at Communion Sunday sing, is in the hospital. He's not doing well at all. So we need to be in prayer for Wes's father and family, Wes's father's wife, and then all the way down to Wes and his family. So please keep them in prayer. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Oh, nobody has any prayer requests? Okay. Well, I do. Just continue to be in prayer in regard to my studies. The more I study, I hope it's not just old age. I hope it's wisdom. But things that are so clear. People, what we're doing this morning, last Sunday, this Sunday, and we'll end it this Sunday, the crisis of faith, I guess I don't know of any more important thing for a believer. This is so vital. The more I talk with people, preachers, different people, and read and hear, What we're seeing is the impossibility that all God wants is your faith. Just trust the one He sent. That's all He wants. It is against the human nature. We're going to see this in Jude. I hope if you're not able to make it on Tuesday night for the study of Revelation, dash Jude right now. Revelation's going to be doing a lot of that. I had to tell the people who are studying Revelation, right now it's Revelation-the book of Jude. It will soon be Revelation-the book of Daniel. Revelation dash parts of Ezekiel, parts of Job, parts of different books of the Bible, because Revelation pulls the whole thing back together. So, but we're seeing in Jude, people, the basic instinct of man. The basic instinct of man. Let me show you something. Look at Genesis. I know we haven't prayed and we've got the offering and we've got this, but this is fun stuff. Look at Genesis 4. Let's just see if we can get some more understanding. We did this a couple of weeks ago on Tuesday night, and you missed it, so I don't want you to be slighted on things like this that are so pertinent. Now, what we're going to do in the verses we're going to read, as we read them, I'd like you to look critically. Be critical. Find something that Cain is doing wrong. Find something that Cain is doing wrong. Now, don't bring in all the other passages of the Bible you know. Just stay with this story and see what Cain did wrong. Verse 1, now the man, that's Adam, had relations, that's sexual intercourse, with Eve, his wife, and she, Eve, conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Now, we won't work on the translation there. That's not our study. And again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Do we have any problem yet? Is there anything wrong and anything going on? Nothing. Nothing. You got all kinds of people that have to work for the things that the flesh needs. Now, verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Question. Do you see anywhere that the Lord asked for this? Just motivated. I want to bring to the Lord. He just motivated to bring an offering to the Lord. Anything wrong with that? No. The fruit of the ground. Anything wrong with that? That's what he has. You have money, you give money. You have this, you give that, whatever you have. Anything wrong with that? No. Okay. And Abel, that's his brother, for his part, also brought. He brought an offering. Now, we have no record God's asking for this. This is just these brothers doing this out of their respect of the Lord. Brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, the richness of it. In other words, leaving out the part that we throw away. So he did a good job here. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he, God, had no regard. Do you see why there? I'm serious. Did any of you see why God, just in context, why God refused Cain's offering? No. He didn't violate anything. We haven't got the Mosaic law where the offerings had to be in certain ways and everything, so there's nothing there. But he rejected it. And look what Cain did. Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Okay, people, we'll do this in Jude in detail. The basic instinct of man. This is the whole battle of faith. Faith to be saved, faith to be filled with the Spirit, faith in the Christian life. Faith is so antithetical to the human instinct. What is so basic to the human instinct, please hear this, what is basic to the human instinct is, I want to be recognized for what I do. In other words, basic instinct to man is law. I want to be recognized. I want to, if you want to use the word rewarded, you can use it. But I want to be recognized. Now, I didn't bring it because I'm not going to deal with it here. I'll deal with it in Jude. But Dallas Morning News this week had a really interesting front page story. Now, days gone by, I wouldn't have even read it because I used to just shun this kind of stuff. But what was so interesting, the article did with years of study on these monkeys. And what is so unbelievable that just shocked them, that these monkeys that they studied and dealt with had a great, not just a casual, great sense of fairness. They should be rewarded when they do things. And the bad ones shouldn't be rewarded. If you gave a banana to a bad, and then they recognized he was a troublemaker or something, to a bad monkey, the other monkeys were upset. Upset that that monkey got a reward and shouldn't have, and they didn't get one. They had an instinct sense of fairness. It's the creature. Not forget a monkey. Let's deal with creatures. It is basic to creatures. Fairness. And God's not being fair. God's not being fair. You're not rewarding me for what I give you. Now let's carry that into spirituality and religion. This is why people, it's so difficult for someone to come along and you give a gospel that says all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ. No. You've got to do something to where you merit it. That's why a lot of people don't understand faith, because they think it's faith, but it's meritorious. Our whole study is about faith. I want you to understand what faith is. It is passive. It is not meritorious. But we want to think that way. And scholars and people talk. You've got to have to do something to justify getting something. That's why man, preachers, theologians, corrupt the correct and true understanding of the word grace in the English charis, in the Greek, and in several different words in Hebrew. Corrupt it. If you don't understand purely what grace is, you get something for nothing. In fact, it's even stronger than that. You don't even deserve it. It's not just getting something for nothing. You don't even deserve what you get. That's grace. And this whole thing is so antithetical. By this whole thing, this whole teaching that you and I are involved in, not only salvation one or eternal life, but salvation two or spirituality and the Christian life. By faith. And why so many people, men I'll just use because generally it is a man through church history, a man will come along and have a movement or in a denomination and he says this is what you do to be saved and this is what you do to be filled with the Spirit. And we run to it. I ran to it. We've run to it. It makes sense to us. It makes sense. Yeah, if I do that, then God will do that. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is all you have to do is trust Him. No, that doesn't make sense. And while it does make sense, some kind of sense to a lot of Christians to be saved eternally, once they're saved, it doesn't make sense anymore. They go back to now you got to do something for God. It is so difficult. It is a battle against the flesh nature to just faith. Just trust the one He sent. It is against our flesh nature. And it's this heart of the whole battle that you and I are involved in. And it is the simplicity. I used to think, went through different stages, the Bible, boy, it's so complex. And, oh, man, I got to study the Greek and Hebrew, which I do. I do that for you. Don't think I don't. But the answer's not there. The secret's not there. It's not in the Greek and it's not in the Hebrew. It's just in the simplicity. Trusting His love. And I'll show you why I word it that way this morning in our study. Well, I don't want to get into that right now. We've got other things to do. But we want to have an impact. God is using this assembly. And I'm just so thankful, even if it's a little thing that I hear about, and we need to continue to be in prayer about God's using this assembly and its outreach of both the gospel for the unbeliever and the gospel for the believer. And the offering, we live in Satan's world, and these things cost, and that's why I say that offering is a great statement of faith, because we take that which is material and related to the material world. We're saying, no, I'm going to invest this in the spiritual world, because that's where I really do what is reality to me. So it becomes a great demonstration of faith, and God has so many opportunities for us coming up. So let's begin with the word of prayer before we go into the offertory. Heavenly Father, there are so many attacks against this country, this nation of America that we live in, against our president. We bring his name before you to entice you to give him wisdom, patience. Give him guidance and wisdom and who to listen to. Those that have his ear. But Heavenly Father, the attack against the freedom of this country, which we here in this room value, we understand it, we appreciate it, we value it. Not just the freedoms, Heavenly Father, to have things in our home and nice things and be able to buy nice things and travel, wear decent clothes, have a grocery store that we can go in and just almost anything imaginable is there. But Heavenly Father, the freedom to worship wherever we please, the freedom to marry whom we please and value that marriage, see its touching of time and eternity, where we live, where we worship, the importance of where we decide to sit down and open our ears to a preacher, to a teaching, to an understanding of the Bible. Father, we love America and we love the freedom here and we don't take it for granted. But Father, we cross that freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because Father, it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political and economic freedom. It is here in the spiritual realm that we have eyes to see in the regard to marriage, in regard to where we worship, where we live, how we live, what we do with our time, what we do with our money. Seeing beyond the boundaries of time to the boundaries of eternity, to the extension into eternity. Father, we pray this morning that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give and all the offerings that we have, and just guide us in the use of these offerings. Lead us, Heavenly Father. We put before you, we've been thinking and dealing with where to meet on a permanent basis, if that's in your will at all. Give us wisdom. Things to be printed, things to be gotten out, the internet. Just guide us. Give us wisdom. Enthusiasm. Give us, Heavenly Father, the sense of a mission that we have, that you have given to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Wes. Thank you. Be seated. Start off by opening the text to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We'll only be there momentarily, but let's start there. John, chapter 11. Begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is that we can see what's going on in the event in the Bible that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us and given to us in the Word, that He will open our eyes and ears to see what's going on in the text, its impact and importance as far as our life is concerned right now today. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things that You would have us to see and hear in the text. What a frightening thing to open this book, because it can be seen in so many different ways. And therefore, Heavenly Father, we simply submit ourselves by faith to the teaching ministry of Your Spirit, that we will see in truth what's going on. Father, we do not have the ability to see all that is going on. Our minds cannot fathom all that is going on in any text. But the things that You would have this assembly to see this morning, to impact the lives of each one of us here individually, and those that will hear these things on tape and internet. So reveal these things to us, Father, at this travel, at this point through it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in the story of Martha coming out to meet the Lord. Lazarus has died, and he's been in the grave, so he is definitely dead and gone, as it were. And Martha comes out to meet the Lord on the road before he comes into the city area because she wants to talk to him in private. And therefore, this is what she says to him in verse 21. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, Kyrios, deity, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay, Martha is getting ready to move into a new relationship with the Lord and with God. She is moving from walking by sight to walking by faith. Martha has great faith. I think people would praise her faith. Wow, what faith. She believes that the Lord could actually have saved her brother. But people, her faith is not where it needs to be. She has conditional faith. And you want to be very careful about conditional faith. Very careful, because it can sneak in on you unawares what you really are believing, what you're really trusting. She believes that Jesus Christ can heal, but it's conditioned on one thing. He's got to be here. He's got to be here. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. So, as I go through this study this morning, what is the condition of your faith, if you have one? What is it conditioned on? I hope every one of you have accepted Christ as Savior. So, is being restored from sin conditioned on something? I believe God will restore me from sin if I confess, if I do this, if I do that. I'm going to condition what God will do for me on something that I've got to do, on some condition. Or, is you're the kind of faith, I trust you. I trust you. Martha's going to get there. But right now, she's at a beautiful point for us in walking by sight. She has to see Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to see verification? If everything goes wrong, nothing goes the way you prayed, nothing's going the way you desire, still don't trust Him? Or is your trust of God by sight? Boy, I can see God doing this and this and this and this, and man, I trust Him. Or do you have the faith that God is looking for? The more I pray, the worse it gets. The more I walk by faith, the more I get hit. But you know what? I'm going to trust Him. In the silence of my own life, my marriage is no good. My finances are no good. My health's no good. My enjoyment of life, where I am in life, is no good. But you know what? I trust you. You're God. You're God. So we have to see if we have anything that we condition our faith on before God. Now, if you will, turn with me to the Gospel of John. And that's one of the Gospel writers. John 4. I went through several of them in a split second. But the Gospel of John, chapter 4. We started this last week. I want to finish this week. We're giving you two lessons. Those of you that are listening on tape or the internet, we have an entire series on the crisis of faith. I highly recommend it as probably, next to Galatians, this the second most important series we've done for just understanding what's going on in the Bible. I think the boasting and weakness and the study on stress, anxiety, and depression are essential to people hurting, Christians hurting. But just in understanding what this book is about, these two are very important to your everyday life, the Galatians and the crisis of faith. Now, this morning, let's see if we can finish this up and get back to Martha. We're in the story in John chapter 4, and we're dealing with a man, a Gentile, whose son is dying. This man also is in the crisis of faith. Now, let me start off. I don't want to go over through the whole thing again. When I say crisis of faith, I'm not talking about where you have a crisis in life and are you going to trust Him or not. I'm not talking about that, where it's difficult to trust Him. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is making that jump, this Grand Canyon jump, where you see that all I have to do is trust Him. I don't have to do what the church taught. I don't have to do what my ancestors have been doing. I don't have to perform. I don't have to be good to be saved. I don't have to make him Lord. I don't have to join a church. I don't have to walk an aisle. All I have to do is just trust him. And then as a Christian, which is where the crisis of faith really plays, because it's for the believer, I don't have to do something for God to restore me from sin. He'll do it if I just trust him. I don't have to do all these things that so many churches have different people doing, what you've got to do to be filled with the Spirit. I just trust him. The crisis of faith is where you go from conditional faith to unconditional faith. And people, I don't know a lot of your stories. For many people, this is traumatic. This is very difficult. And it generally comes about not through the normality of life, but there's a circumstance that comes up. Now, sometimes it does come through the normal flow of life, but God can use 100 different any way once, obviously. But generally, it's a powerful circumstance. What's the circumstance of the crisis of faith for Martha? Her brother, whom she loves, is dead. She left him. And apparently, he wasn't that old. Here we have a man who loves his son. So let's take a look at the circumstances. Verse 46. Jesus Christ came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where he, Jesus Christ, had made the water wine. First great miracle. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. This is a Gentile. It's a royal official. All right, the circumstances of the crisis of faith. Circumstances of the crisis of faith. Surrounded around what? Sickness and death. Sickness and death. To make it through the crisis of faith, people, something precious is going to have to die. This whole environment of sickness and death in Martha's story and with this royal official. The whole ideal of death. Something's got to die, and that's tough to give up. Don't ever think it's easy, because you see it. Well, what, doesn't everybody see you just saved by faith? Doesn't everybody see you just... How can you not see you're restored by faith? How can you not see that? But I want to tell you something, people. It took me 6 months. My journey was 6 months, making it through something precious having to die. I fought it every way I could. I fought. No, it has to be confession. It has to be something. It cannot be just simple faith, as Lewis Berry Chafer said. And sometimes it's tough. Don't ever think, because you're there. Well, anybody, they ought to see it. Because it's tough when something precious, somebody's mother, somebody's husband, somebody's wife dies, and you know they loved each other. Boy, how sympathetic you are. How tender you are. How understanding you are. I hope. Then people have that same when something precious has to die to someone to learn to walk by faith. That has something they're holding on to that's so dear, and to be able to let it go and just trust God. It's a tough journey. That's what we have going on here. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee. Okay. Just paralleling, Martha heard Jesus was coming, so she ran out. He went to him, so we have that parallel. And was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Okay, he believes again that Jesus Christ can heal. He believes that. But he has to be there. He has to be there. He's walking by sight. Conditional faith. Conditional faith is walking by sight. Anyone who lives by law is walking by sight. That's why it's so good to live by law for people. I can go to bed at night. I didn't break any of the 10. I didn't do this and I didn't do that. They can be very comfortable, like the rich young ruler, until Christ says you're doing the whole law, and then realize that you fail, and therefore you fail the whole law if you try to do it. But nobody pushes you that way. You just feel very content. I can see. I did very well. I see my life. I, like Cain, I can see what I've offered God. I can see it. It's walking by sight. So this is what he's doing. And people, this is so important. Many people believe that God can save them, but conditioned on my doing my part. I have to invite him into my heart. That's a verb. Sometimes people think I'm splitting hairs when we talk about inviting Jesus and Lordship. People, no, I'm not. That sets up a whole framework of thinking. I hope that you understand inviting is an active verb. Inviting is an active verb. I invite Jim over to my house for supper. I'm not doing it, Jim. I'm not ready for tonight. But invite him over to eat. That I'm doing it. I'm the initiator. I'm the active. See? And so you think about it, that sets my whole framework on how I'm going to live my Christian life now. I was saved by doing, I'm going to live by doing. And people, I can make it sound, invite Jesus into your heart. Will you do it? I can make it sound so good. I can make you sound so, oh, I just love him so much. Here I am, an unbeliever, totally degenerate, and I love him and I want to invite him into my heart. Who are you kidding? We think about it. But it's just thrown out there. Make him Lord. I don't even know him. I'm an unregenerate. I'm an unregenerate degenerate. And I'm going to make him Lord in the flesh. I'm going to do this to be saved. It's active. It's active. I'm doing. And that's why it is so appealing, people. We want to do for God. He's a God who needs us to do for Him. No, He's not. No, He's not. You can't do for Him. But it sounds so right. Got to repent. You got to confess. You got to feel sorry. Simply trusting the one He sends is not enough. Why? Because it doesn't include me. I don't get to be part of the equation. All I get is the salvation. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? I believe that God can and will restore me from sin, but conditioned on my confession, my repentance, my sorrow, promising that I'll never do it again. Simply trusting the one He sent is not enough. I want to be a part of it. Just being empowered by the Spirit of the living God is not enough. I want to be a part of it. People, all these things are conditional faith, and it's tough to see. It's conditional faith. This faith will not save. This faith will not restore. It's what James calls dead faith. So many preachers preach on dead faith while the faith they're teaching is dead. They'll turn right around. They say, dead faith, so what you got to do, you got to do for God. So they go from talking about dead faith to killing people spiritually, dead. No faith. Faith that God is looking for, people, is so simple and so wonderful, so difficult, simple, difficult. Simple, not easy. Just trust me. That's what kind of God I am. Get back to what your view of God. That the faith He's looking for is unconditional. The faith He's looking for brings about an almost unbelievable intimacy between you and God. I just trust the one you sent. By the way, so that we don't miss it, we didn't do this last week. Let's note this. I want you to note the whole picture of what's going on here. We have the son is sick. Okay, condition of the human race. Condition of the human race, so that we'll see everything going on here. Let's take a look. Oh, we don't have this figure. Yeah, we do. Good. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. I know you put in a lot of time. You had to came in work, and then that didn't do it. And then, so I don't know how you did it, and I don't want to ask. So whatever you did. This is still ours, isn't it? Okay. Okay. Let's first of all take condition. Condition of the human race. Now, what is the condition of the human race? We could talk about being sick, the point of death. That's a condition of the human race. Now, let's go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as God, had to come down. Look at your verse 47. and was requesting him to come down. Jesus Christ, as God, has to come down to creation, to earth, to the form of man, from heaven to earth, from God to humanity. That's what Philippians 2 deals with, as well as many other places. Then, Jesus Christ came down. Jesus Christ came to heal. So we get a great picture, historically, of what is going on as far as all of man is concerned. Now, that's just three of what's going on in the text, if we can see the other things happening. In context, man says, come down, heal my son. If we see it, the condition of the human race, we're all sick. And by the way, this is our condition when we are in sin. We are sick and spiritually dead temporally. Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, had to come down, and they come down to heal. Salvation 1 and Salvation 2. So you have the picture of what's going on as far as all history is concerned. Now 48. Jesus therefore said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, forget you people, it's not there in the original, unless you see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Walking by sight. If I see, then I'll believe, this type of thing. Conditional faith. The issue of faith, not believe, but the issue of faith is the faith that God is looking for. Unconditional faith. Will you just trust me? In other words, it's not just a matter of believing versus not believing. Because a lot of people say they have faith, like in James, but it's conditional faith. This man say, I have faith, but it's conditional faith. Martha has faith, but it's conditional faith. Where you want to move in your Christian life, people, please, where you want to move, this small little group, where you want to move is to where you just trust Him, the one He sent, the Spirit, the living God. You just trust the Father. You just trust the Son, not by your performance, but because of who and what they are. Unconditional faith. This man, Mary, Martha, the disciples, many believers throughout church history, do not believe that if they just trust Him, that He can and will deliver. In this case, keep Lazarus alive, keep this son alive. They believe that they have to perform for God. They have to do something, some type of condition. Preachers who actually make fun of just trusting God. People I know, there are preachers who from their pulpit make fun of what I teach here, of just trusting Him. They make fun of it to support their works program. You have to make up your mind how you understand God and what's going on in the Scriptures. This man is going to have to walk home, people, alone. He's going to have to walk home alone, as it were, just trusting. So Jesus Christ refuses to go down with this man. He's going to have to walk alone. Why? Why is he going to have to walk alone? Why won't Jesus Christ go down with this man? Are you so busy you can't walk down with him? Are you that busy? Then you're too busy, Lord. Do you just not have the time to walk down? Do you not have the energy? I'll get a cart for you. Why not? You're Jesus. You're supposed to love. You're supposed to care. Why won't you come down? For the same reason he delayed in coming to Bethany, where Mary and Martha were. Because this man's going through the crisis of faith. People, there's nothing like it. You are totally alone. Your whole thing is being shaken because something's dying. Your whole foundation. When you go through the crisis of faith and you just sense that you're all alone. This man's going to have to walk alone. It's such a beautiful journey. It's the best walk this man's ever had in his life. It's going to be the walk from the Lord to home. It's a great walk, but you're going to have to do it alone. So often we want someone with us, and sometimes the best friend is one that will just sit there in silence with you. It isn't that you need a conversation so much, even though sometimes you do, but it is silence. Now, if that's all you need is just silence, you probably won't invite me. I'll end up saying something. But sometimes a good friend, just silent. Just be there. Just be there. But you're going to have to do it alone. No one can go with you. It's the crisis of faith is an individual journey. It's not for the, you don't pass it out to the masses. It's individual. And you go through it individually. So, this man believes. He's walking by sight. He thinks he believes, but he's walking by sight. This is what walking by sight is all about. Walking by sight. Now listen, walking by sight does not exclude faith. Be sure you got that down. It's not walking by sight versus walking by faith. Walking by sight can include faith. It is a faith that depends on the seeing, the doing, the performing. I believe that if I do, then I trust God that He will do for me. That's our basic instinct. That's our basic instinct. If I do all my work, this is what happens to a lot of people in America. The American dream doesn't work out. Well, I thought if I went to high school and college and got out and got married, I had a house with a white fence and roses on it, and I'd have a happy life. My children, three children would be wonderful children, and they would all grow up to be healthy and take care of me in old age, and then I die. And then it doesn't work out. But I did all the, I went to college, and I did this, and I got a job, and I worked, and I did all this, and now it's a divorce, and now it's no good, and now the government's taking, and now a whole, all the money I've been putting in, they've absconded it, they've taken it now, the company, the presidents, and leaders of the, and it just, it isn't working. This is not fair! See? I did everything I'm supposed to do. And I want to tell you what's even worse. Look at that yo-yo over there. He didn't do anything. And look at him. He's got everything. He didn't do anything. Oh, it messes us up when you live by Satan's lie. Because you look around and you see the wicked prospering. You see the lazy taken care of. I'm against welfare. Those bums, they don't want to work, they don't eat. That makes me mad. Welfare makes me mad because I'm working and they're not. And I used to be that way. See, you got this sense of fairness. And what isn't fair up here? It's all from our flesh nature. And to break that into the spiritual realm, people, it's tough to understand grace. And just take it by faith. Okay. Faith this man has is not the faith God's looking for, so he's going to go on a journey to get there. He must see. This man, like Mary and Martha, like the disciples, like so many believers throughout church history, walking by sight, claiming faith, but needing sight. Needing their laws. See, it doesn't just have to be the sight of Jesus being there. It could be your laws, your list, your doctrines, your ritual, your doing, your performance, whatever it may be. Whatever is your faith is conditioned. That's why it's tough, because we don't even see it. We do not see that our faith is conditioned until, pow, that's some kind of a circumstance that opens our eyes. Now, once in a while, I know a few people that just walk by, I'm angry at them. Not really, but they just okay, that's it. That's wonderful. Because some of us, it takes a long, long, hard journey. Difficult. To let something die. That we didn't even know. We thought our faith was faith. We thought we had it. This man thinks he's got it. No. You're getting ready to move to a plateau or a place that you've never been before when you do this man. They see. They need. See, this man, and like so many, we need to see. We need to do something. We need to be moral. We need to learn Bible doctrine. We need to have a charismatic experience. Just give our body, as it were, for the charismatic experience. We need to serve. We need to confess. We need to repent. We need to be sorry. We need to go out and do. We need that to confirm our faith. God, what a place when you get there and say, Father, I trust you. I don't even see it. I don't feel saved. I don't feel restored. The same problems exist. The same this, same that. But I trust you. And God. And you don't even have to change the circumstances. I'll still trust you. Be nice if you would, but you don't have to. I'm going to still trust you. You're God. Okay, each must pass through this crisis of faith to walk, not by sight, but truly by just trusting Him. Is that going to be enough just to trust Him? Now look at the phrase, then they believe. This is the way so many Christians live today, by their list, not by faith. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Well, you've got to see the sign, then you believe. Then you believe, that's actually He. Then you believe. You just got to see. This is not the faith God is looking for. This is not the faith He was looking for at the cross. This is not the faith He's looking for restoration from sin. This is not the faith He's looking for in your Christian life. But so many just need to walk by sight. But to make it through the crisis of faith, these things must be taken away. This man's going to have to go alone. I'm not going to go down with you. I'm not going to go down with you. And that's tough for this man right now. And then the son's going to die. No. He's going to have to walk alone. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Here we come to the crisis of faith. Not believe. This does not refer to salvation faith. This isn't salvation one or eternal life salvation. This isn't even spiritual recovery, people. Very important. Be sure you get this. This isn't even spiritual recovery. This is just in life, in living the Christian life. Moving through your daily life, you have to perform for God to do something for you. Or is it based on something? Just getting up and going to work. Can walk by faith or not. So this is not talking about salvation one, and it's really not even talking about salvation two. We're talking about the Christian life. And again, I know I'm saying it so many times, but I want you to kind of grab it. Do I hold on to anything? Something is special, something important, something precious has to die to move to the place in your life where God wants you. See, this is illustrated often through the Bible. Abraham, God wanted Abraham to get somewhere. Abraham had to hold on to something. Abraham had to hold on to his father. Just had to hold on to him. Not knocking loving your father and that father-son relationship. But you're not going to get anywhere until you break that type of dependency. And so what did God have to do? Something had to die. Abraham's father died. Abraham had to go on alone. Had to go on alone. So these are physical examples, people, of what I'm trying to show you happens spiritually, what you've got to hold on to. So God will do for you. God will do what you want. Crisis of faith, if I just trust Him, He will do for me. And what a wonderful place to be. If I just trust Him, His will be done. Now, when I said He will do for me, don't get the idea you get everything you want. No. See, that's conditional faith again. Father, I'm trusting You to save my marriage. If You don't save the marriage, then people have a lot of trouble with God now. Father, I'm trusting You to help me on this business deal. I'm trusting You to help me in this relationship, my health, whatever it may be. And then God doesn't do it, but I prayed. Preachers are really damaging people's prayer life. But I really prayed, and I prayed. I prayed all night. Well, I got one better. I prayed all night on my knees. And that ought to impress God. That really ought to impress God. I stayed up all night praying. No, not necessarily. My crying ought to impress God. No. Well, wait a minute. I'm crying because I hurt. And God ought to see it. All of these types of things. People, they offered offerings to God. And He said, I don't even want your offerings. I don't even want your offerings. Got to see what kind of God we have in coming to Him. How we come to Him. You will not believe. Pistuo. This is not referring to an act of faith in Christ as Savior. Spirituality. It's talking about just trusting Him in our lives. Okay, Jesus refused to go down. Increases the intensity of the circumstances. The intensity of His need to see. Increases the turmoil of what's going on inside of Him. It's so important that Jesus Christ go down. What is it you're holding on to? You go to a doctor, and this is the man. This is the man who has the technique of the brain surgery, the heart surgery. Nobody else has perfected it. Will you do it? No. I'll give you all the money you want. No, I'm not going to do it. Do it, please. No. Do you see the turmoil? I want you to see it experientially, what's going on here. The turmoil. Come down. Come down, Lord, and heal my son. No, I'm not going with you. God, why not? Why won't you do it? Are you mean? Is Calvin right? It's selectiveness. That some are chosen and some are not. And my son's not chosen to live a few more days. Why wouldn't you come? The turmoil. It's gotten worse now. First his son was dying and he came to the Lord. Now he's come to the Lord. He's actually, here he is, the physician. Here he is, the great physician. Boy, he can do it. Just come lay your hands. Boom. It'll be done. Nope. What do you mean, no? See, he's holding on and it's going to have to die. This is beautiful stuff going on here. This is beautiful stuff. Okay. Verse 49, the royal official said to him, Sir, and I'm sorry they did this. I really am sorry that they did this, translating it, Sir, because it is not Sir, it is Kyrios. It is Kyrios, Lord. Lord, deity, Savior, come down. There it is again. People, if you don't see that come down is important, then I'm not a good teacher. Come down, God coming down, Christ coming down, the Holy Spirit coming down to what? To us when we were sick. This is beautiful. So he says, the royal official, emphasizing his position again, a royal physician. This is not just some peasant, this is a royal official, said to him, Kyrios, Lord, come down before my child dies. The word Lord, anointed of God, Savior. He does believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He does believe that Jesus Christ can heal his son, but that is not enough. He's going through the crisis of faith. Lord, come down before my child dies. What did Mary and Martha do? They wanted the Lord to come before Lazarus died. This man right out says it. Come down before... See, Mary and Martha at least didn't even say that. They just said, the one you love is dying. With the idea, you are going to come down, aren't you? But here, he doesn't even do that. This guy right out, he's just right out. He is a royal official, lays it out there. Come down before my child dies. He's desperate, people. He's hurting. He's in pain. He's in fear. He's in uncertainty. He loves his son. I hope you love your children. He loves his son. Here's somebody that can heal him. Come down. He's desperate. Again, so many. WWJC, what would Jesus Christ do? Oh, he'd have compassion and go. Jesus Christ would walk with those who really want him to walk with him. But no, Jesus Christ is not going to walk with this man. Jesus Christ knows this man is very near a new intimacy with God that he's never experienced before. Let me also say this. We're reading an unnamed person. You are as important and more important in the sense of the church. Each one of you individually. I don't care. You may not think you're important. You may not feel important. And maybe your wife doesn't make you feel important. Been funny. But you are. He wants every individual Christian to go through this crisis of faith and reach that point. I just trust you. He wants every individual to reach that point. So this is where this man is. Come down. A plea to be what? Physically present, to be physically there. His faith is conditional. His faith right now, a few minutes, it's going to be different. He's so close. This is a beautiful snapshot study, the crisis of faith. Depends on the physical presence of the Lord. He's on the journey of the crisis of faith and will have a totally new and wonderful relationship with God, with the Lord, in just a few minutes. Before the sun sets this day, this man's life will be changed. God, what a day. What a day that is. When you wake up in the morning, your face conditional. When you go to bed at night, somewhere the completion of that journey took place. Today, I just learned to trust Him. I let go. I let die. things I had to do. It's a beautiful place this man is in his life. Circumstance here, before my child dies. Same circumstance with Martha and Mary at the beginning, the death of their brother Lazarus. They are like this Gentile walking by sight. Jesus Christ has to be there physically. Circumstance here, death of his son, death of their brother. There's always some circumstance for the crisis of faith, and the ideal is it's surrounding around death. Something precious has to die. That's what this is. Death here is symbolic of the crisis of faith, where something precious is going to have to die. Now, before the crisis of faith, our relationship with God is one of sight. And that's normal. This is a journey we go on. It's one of sight, though we claim that it's just faith. But what we really believe is that we must do something for Him, whatever our list is. Then God will do for us. Oh, I believe that God will save me. I believe that God will restore me from sin. I believe that. I believe with all my heart and all my mind, all my body and soul and spirit that God will restore me from sin if I do this. If I confess. If I repent. If I feel sorry. If I make penance. If I promise I'll never do it again. If I feel real proper about it. Then He'll do it. It's conditional. It's conditional. People, I'm going to get bolder and bolder in this. I'm going to hit anything that anybody has that stands in the way of just trusting Him. I don't care who's offended or what. We've got to see the truth of what's going on here. That is not the faith that the relationship with God desires. He desires a faith that comes after the pattern of the cross. And what is the pattern of the cross? What did you do at the cross? You just trusted Him. That's all you did. You didn't perform in any way, if you understand your salvation. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Pow! That's what He wants you to do now. I believe in the Spirit of the living God. I believe God, trusting Him. You physically come down with me and my son. And look what He says. And stand over him. Isn't that beautiful? And stand over him or he will die. He has faith. But it's not the faith God is looking for. It's not the intimacy God is looking for. God is looking for unconditional faith. And boy, this man, I can't wait to meet him. This man is just having the most unbelievable day in his whole life. And that's why I call it a snapshot. He's going to do in one day what it takes some longer than a day. It took me 6 months. So it takes a long time for some people to make it through this. Here we have just a snapshot of one day he's going through this journey, but he was ready. See, he was ready for it. It's really good if you can do it in one day. Okay, but it doesn't happen that way very often. He's looking for unconditional faith, deep-seated intimacy that does not need external verification. Wow, I just trust you. You haven't changed my circumstances one bit, but I trust you. You haven't made the wrong right, but I trust you. You haven't made it come out the way I think it ought to be fair, but I trust you. You're God. That's what he's looking for. That kind of faith. Okay, what does Jesus Christ do? Or, in fact, not do? Jesus Christ does not go down with this man. Here's the greatest love. Same love that he demonstrates for Mary and Martha. He demonstrates for this man entering into a new relationship with God, unconditional relationship with God. It's a great place to be, to just trust Him unconditionally in life. Crisis of faith, just trust Him. Is this faith God? Is this the faith God is looking for? Is this the worship God is looking for? Is this the giving God is looking for? Is this the prayer God is looking for? I'm going to go into prayer. I'm going to give. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Is it what God is looking for? Am I doing this in the power of His Spirit by just trusting Him? Or am I doing this because it's on my list of things that you're supposed to do if you're a good Christian? Or am I doing this because of the leading of the Spirit of the living God in my life? Got to ask ourselves all the time because it's so easy to slip over into the flesh and miss it. Not even know you're there. a funny illustration I like to use. See, every one of you married people, you can get thanks. You know if you're in the spirit the minute you wake up in the morning and how you deal with a person lying next to you. They got up. They turn on the light. They got up is enough for some people. That made you mad. And then they turn on the light. And then they made noise. And then they did this. And the toothpaste is the right. See, a single people, sometimes we may not even know if we're in the spirit or not for hours. We're just drifting along. We get up, get the paper, and do this, and have our breakfast or our shake, and we just run. The minute we get in the car and get into the alley and somebody pulls out in front of us, "You dirty rat, what are you doing?" Where'd it come from? See? Boom, a circumstance hit. People, it's so easy to go in the flesh and you think you're spiritual. We've got to be on alert all the time. Got to think, is this the faith God is looking for, the worship God is looking for, the giving God is looking for, the prayer God is looking for, the love that God is looking for? Is this the relationship God wants me to have? I'm over here and I should be here. Am I where God wants me to be? Okay, 49. The royal official said to him, "Lord, come down before my child dies." I've got to move on. Before my child dies. He believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. He believes that Jesus Christ can heal his son, but he has to be there. Come down. Must be there physically. Sight. Please listen. Love is the issue. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, Mary and Martha. And love is the issue here. Now, I want to ask you a question. This is very important. Why is love such an issue? Why is love such an issue? This idea that he first loved us. Okay. To see his love is to be drawn to simply trust him. To see his love is to be drawn simply to trust him. The kindness of his love draws us to faith. Please look with me. Take a moment. Look at me at Galatians 3. Let's look at a rather obscure, difficult concept. Not difficult, but out of place. I guess is the best way to put it in simplicity. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3 a moment. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. I was in the gym this week talking to a man. He was a preacher. We talk a lot. I'm hoping one day he'll struggle in here. And what kind of church? And so I was telling him about how we study and word by word and just study and really try to get an understanding. And that took us into some things, and he goes, "Wow, I just never heard that." And I pointed out how you see things in the Bible and stuff. And that's what we're doing here, people. This is just for you. I wouldn't be able to do this with 5,000 people probably. But I want you to see this. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "You foolish Galatians," which foolish word foolish means non-thinking. Now, before we go into this, remember the subject matter is the discussion of faith. Simple faith with no performance. Paul is trying to get them to come to faith, to live the Christian life by faith. So I want you to see how he's going to introduce this study. "You non-thinking Galatians, who has charmed you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Now, what does that have to do with this? Where does that come from in context? If you're just reading along, well, we agree with it and we like it. That's not my point. My point is, what is he saying? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, what does eyes, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? See that publicly portrayed? Why does Paul put that in right there? He's not dealing with salvation one. Because people, a demonstration of his love draws to unconditional faith. Not only does it draw us to love him in the power of the Spirit back, but it draws us to simply trust him. Such love we can trust. It's a love that doesn't depend on me doing anything. That's a love we can trust. God sent his son down, come down, to us. We see his love. Why did God send his son? As a demonstration of his love. So that you will just trust him. You will see his love and you will trust that love. That's what's going on here. Love is a great issue in John chapter 11. I told you that. It's a great issue here. You see His love and I just trust it. I don't understand it because it is beyond understanding, Paul says. We cannot understand love. We cannot define love. We can only know it by its environment that it creates. But I know, I see that love, and I trust that. So it's a matter of seeing His love and trusting. What love looks like? What does your love look like? Now, before the crisis of faith, our relationship with God is one of sight, though we claim faith. But what we believe is that we have to do for Him, and that's sight. God is looking for this unconditional faith. He sent His Son down for that unconditional faith. Now look at verse 50. Jesus Christ does not go down, refuses to go down. Look what He says. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." That means healthy, restored. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. Right there, he's gone through the crisis of faith. Jesus Christ does not have to be there with him. Jesus Christ does not have to go. Wow. Man, look. It doesn't have to be by sight. It doesn't have to be by sight. A moment ago, it had to be by sight. Now he just says, "Your son's healed." I believe that. Boom. And he starts walking off. He's gone through it. Notice what Jesus Christ did not say first. He did not say, "Go and do this and that." He did not say, "Go and give all you own to the poor," or "Go put some money in the kitty for the poor." He did not say, "Do the law, do some list, do some performance." No, he simply said, "Go your way." Now, I'm sorry that the translators did this, because they miss what's going on. The Greek is one word, not "go your way." That's just one word in the Greek. "Go your way" leaves the wrong idea. Your way. Just go on what you normally do. And nothing could be further from the truth of what's going on here spiritually in this man's life. It's the present middle imperative. Imperative means to go. Present tense, do it now. And it is the word "poor euomai." Now, I'm not going to put it on the board because it's not that is important. What is important is, you know, it's a Greek word, "poor euomai," and what this Greek word means, and you're going to love it. You're going to love what this word means. The Greek word means to go on a journey. To go on a journey. This man is on the journey of the crisis of faith. The Greek word describes so well what is going on in this man's life at this very moment. To go on his journey, to travel, to proceed from walking by sight to walking by faith. Powerful. The journey this man has made in one day. He is going from conditional faith relationship with God to an unconditional relationship, faith relationship with God. This is going to happen to Martha, Mary. This is what should happen in every Christian's life. To move to that unconditional faith relationship with God. Doesn't matter the circumstances. A journey from, watch, a journey from "come down physically to heal my son" to "I trust you." Dear people, I present to you, this is the issue all the way through the Bible. Job 1:1 starts off with Job doing for God. His faith is conditional. Oh, people have made no doubt about it. Job is like Cain. Job is like this royal official. He's like, man, I want to do everything because I want to be right with God. It's conditional faith. Chapter 42, "I retract everything I've said. You're God. I trust you." You can do whatever you want to do. You want to take everything? Of course, he didn't have anything at this time, but you can take it. You can do whatever you want to do. You're God. I'm through playing the game. It's not this matter of fairness. It's not this matter of my performance, and therefore I really deserved all the things you gave me. I really deserved everything I lost back there in chapters 2 and 3. It's all gone, but I didn't deserve it anyway. You're God. You know, God, I don't understand what you're doing in my life, what you're doing in my marriage, what you're doing in my health, but you're God. I've already seen a demonstration of your love, and I just trust you. And I may die a beggar like the other Lazarus, not our brother Lazarus, but I may die at the rich man's gate begging for food. They may come one morning, cold morning, and I'll be sitting there. But you know what? I trust you. You're God. People, when you reach that kind of point in life and mean it, and say only you mean it. Anybody can say it. Anyone can say it. Only you know if you mean it. I trust you, God. I trust you each step. This is where God wants us. What a great place to be in intimacy with God. Unconditional faith. What a journey. Traveling from conditional faith to unconditional faith. And sometimes it doesn't happen in a day here. And it's a great struggle so often. All by condition, by sight, by doing, by saying, by thinking, by law, by list, whatever. To a faith that is dependent upon seeing nothing. Faith that is unconditional. I just trust your spirit. My friends don't see it. Job's three friends. They don't believe it. Da, da, da. I don't care. I trust you. You're God. And I want to tell you something, people. There are so many unknown names, and I believe this, in church history. In little communities, a wife here, husband here, child, son, who make it. And the most startling thing is going to be the evaluation, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. And you're going to stand there and you're going to see. And I hope you're not going to be standing there seeing others. You're going to be there. You see, man, they didn't have a big radio program. They didn't have a big TV program. They didn't do great things for God. They didn't write a lot of books for God. They didn't do... No. They did what you didn't do. They just trusted. People, you don't have to be on the limelight. You're in the limelight where it really counts, and that's in the spiritual warfare. Quit trying to achieve in the world that it doesn't even matter, because the moment you die, they're going to clear out your desk and put somebody else there. It's going to happen that quickly. It's amazing how quickly they can replace us. Well, we're going to miss old Joe. Now, here we go. And that's about it. And you want to charge on to those things that are eternal. That are eternal. And having that wonderful relationship with God. Jesus said, go on your journey, the journey of faith. Your son lives. What a beautiful picture. This is what happens when you make it through the crisis of faith. You're going to live, and you're going to live as you've never lived before. When you reach that point. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's difficult to grasp the concept that each of us individually are uniquely important to you, and that your Spirit is dealing with each one of us in a different way to bring us to this wonderful relationship with you, this wonderful intimacy with you of just trusting you. Where everyone in this small assembly has a different story on where they are, where their life is. But yet, Heavenly Father, if we examine each one, we see to bringing us all on this journey to reach a point where you just trust me. We stop relying on the flesh. You stop relying on your sins to make things happen, your flesh to make things happen, your law to make things happen. And just trust me. What an awesome God you are, Father. Our words fall empty of the praise that we grasp of who and what you are. But we praise you. Father, I pray that you'll take the things that we've seen this morning, each life here, each one that will hear this in different ways. Take the things that are real here and make it a reality in their own journey and their relationship with you. Let some things die that they might live. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.